God is good. Amen. He's for us. He's for you. God's got good things for you. I know you believe it, but I'm just reminding you. God's got great, wonderful things for you. He wants you blessed. He wants you helped. And most importantly, He wants His work blessed. And He wants His work helped. Amen. He wants the people of Cory blessed. And if you're a person of Cory, well, He wants you blessed. Amen. If you're a person from Mayville, well, He wants you blessed. If you're a person from Jamestown, He wants you blessed too. Glory to God. Doesn't matter where you come from. God has planted these churches in order to be a blessing to His people. Amen. And that the truth would get out. Praise the Lord. One of the things that the Lord has been dealing with me on even today is the fact of the truth keeping us from bondage. You know, we get bound by many things. We get bound by society. Praise the Lord. We get bound by ideas of man. We get bound by all kinds of different things. But the Word of God always sets us free. Amen. So if you're somebody who has been in church or somebody who is, reading the Word of God and you feel like you're in bondage, well, you're missing something in it. Amen. Because it's not never meant to do that. Amen. The Word of God always sets us free. And I believe that that's exactly what this message is going to do tonight. I'm excited for it. Praise the Lord. And this message is called, What to Do When... Hallelujah. What to Do When, amen? And really, well, the heart of the message is just how are we supposed to do life, amen? What do we do when? We know that in life, circumstances come up. Sometimes you can't stop circumstances. Anybody have any circumstances recently? I know, praise the Lord, that all face them. Glory to God. I have circumstances all the time. Amen. Sometimes even I don't even know what the circumstances are. I'll wake up in the morning and maybe just be in a bad mood or be in a bad way, feel like it. And how many know that there's opposition that will come to you sometimes in your sleep, sometimes spiritually, sometimes in your day through other people. The devil has various ways that he can try to get to you. Amen. But it doesn't matter how many ways he has to get to us, because for every way that he has to get to us, God's got 10 that'll get us out of it. Amen. So the key is just knowing what to do, amen. It's knowing where to find your help, and we know that the Word of God is always the place where we find our help. And so tonight we're going to be set free. Glory to God. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, I'm not bound. That's good. Glory to God. I'm excited for you. But that devil might come around tomorrow and try to bind you, and you're going to have the answer tonight how to deal with it. So even if you're feeling good tonight, praise the Lord, then you can be set free tomorrow. Praise the Lord. And if you're feeling terrible tonight, well, you just get excited because you're about to get set free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to start over there in 1 Corinthians. A good place to start in 1 Corinthians 15. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Glory to God. That's way out there in 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, right there towards the end. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Glory to God. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Glory to God. Well, the first thing we see here is he addresses the brethren. Aren't you glad? Do we have any brethren in here? Have any sistren? They're included in that. Amen. Brethren, sistren, cousins, we're all in the same family. Glory to God. And if you're not, well, then you don't have much hope. Except for the fact that you're in church and you got the word, and praise the Lord, the hope is there. Amen. And so in of yourself, you might not have hope, but there is an important point to note here, and that's that it is important to be of the brethren. What do we mean of the brethren? The Bible calls us family. We are God's children when we are led by God. Amen. The Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or the daughters or the children of God, you can say. And so we know that not just because you're on this earth makes you a child of God, but because you are led by His Spirit, because you are somebody who is connected to what He's doing. You're a Christian, praise the Lord, is another way that we look at it. So if you're that here tonight, well, glory to God, this verse applies to you. And if you're not a Christian here tonight, or if you're watching on live stream and you don't know what being a Christian is, it can apply to you. And all you have to do is decide that you want it to. Praise the Lord. So if you want to be set free, you just go along with us. Amen. Because we're on the free train. Amen. We're on that path. We're going in the right direction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's important to be a brethren, amen? You know, when I think of the prodigal son, I mean, most of us know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is the one that came to the father and said, I want my inheritance now. I want to leave the house. I want to go out and live in my own way. And he did just that. He found lots of trouble out there in the world, didn't he? When he left the father, when he left the protection of the father and all the things that the father had to offer, and he went out into the world on his own and was doing his own thing, he found lots of trouble. Now, was he any less a son? No, not technically. But did he have any right to anything at his father's house? No, not technically. Praise the Lord. So he didn't have right as long as he was away. And so we see this, that what the most important thing that we can do is be established with the brethren. In other words, we come together. We know that we're part of a family. It is imperative that we be part of a family in Christ. Amen. If we are not, we are leaving ourselves open for the attack of the enemy, and he will take advantage of it. Well, glory to God. So, my beloved brethren, he's giving the brethren great news. He says, be steadfast, immovable. Now, I was looking into this, and really, steadfast means immovable as well. But it means something a little bit more, praise the Lord. It means, glory to God, it means steady or sure. In other words, there's a surety. That's not the word I'm looking for. Praise God, hallelujah. I wanna pull this up real quick in my other Bible. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians. Just got to find it on the iDevice. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Steadfast. Settled, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Settled, it means settled.
Yeah, that's good.
Glory to God. You know, and God this afternoon is starting to reveal it to me like this, if you think about it like this, because it kind of looks like it says, be immovable, immovable. Twice. But it's not just being redundant, you know, because there's kind of a different context. To be settled is something, you know, I can be sitting here not movable, but not settled that I'm here. You know, being settled is a state of mind. Being settled is a place in your heart where you're okay.
Yeah.
Amen? Glory to God. And what it's saying here is that when you get to the place where you're settled in your mind or you're settled in your heart, then the wind's blowing, they're not going to move you. That you'll be immovable.
Yeah.
So if you want to look at it like that, it says here, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, be settled in your mind.
Yeah.
How do you be settled in your mind? Well, you just determine in your heart that God's word is true,
yeah,
and you'll be settled.
Right.
If you don't, then you won't. If the word of God is not truth to you, then you will never be settled. And until the word of God becomes true to you, you will never be settled. You could say, well, how do I get to that place where I'm settled? You decide you want to stop getting moved. You decide that every time the wind blows, you don't want to be moved. Every time there's trial, that you don't want to just go back to that place of, oh man, where are we? You got what it's basically saying is you got to learn to trust God. And the way to trust God is to build faith, and the way to build faith is by hearing the word of God. And so if we're not hearing the word of God, we're not going to be built up in the word of God. It won't be truth to us, and then we won't be settled. And if we're not settled, we'll be moved. The Bible gives us a very clear direction here. It says, be settled, and then immovable. Once you're settled, you won't be movable. I love it because there's so many things that the devil used to move me all around the place with that he can't touch me in anymore. Why? Because I'm immovable in those areas. I've settled them in my heart. I said, you know what? This is the word of God. This is what it's settled in my heart. You can't change it. It does not matter. I'm immovable. Praise the Lord. Do you know there was a time when my faith would get attacked? Do I really believe that the Bible is true? Do I really believe in the God of the Bible? There was a time I thought that way. Amen. But you know what? The devil can't attack me there anymore because it's immovable in my mind. This word is you cannot tell me that this isn't God's word. There is no amount of, there's no proof towards that anyways, but there's nothing you could say that would change my mind on the fact that this is God's word. Why? Because I'm immovable. It's settled in my heart. I'm kind of closed-minded to the fact that the Bible is true. Amen? I don't mean kind of closed-minded, I mean totally closed-minded. Amen? It's settled in my heart. You can't change that. You know, one of the things that I see as a problem in Christianity today is that Christians aren't settled. That a lot of times they say, well, I don't know. I don't know about this. You know, that a question will be posed, you know, should we accept this now or should we accept that now? Or is this right in God's eyes still, or has he changed on this? That's a person that's not settled. Actually, the Bible calls that a double-minded man. And it says that a double-minded man will be unstable in all their ways. Amen? Well, if a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways, they're not settled. It's not settled. Now, I know that I kind of am harping on this, but it is imperative that we as Christians become settled, that we get the Word of God in us. We may not know all the Word of God. I'm not expecting you to. God isn't expecting you to today. But what he is expecting you to do is to trust him. He's expecting you to say in your heart that if God said it, it must be true, and if it's in here, God said it. Amen. Glory to God that it's God's, that this is God's will for us, and that the teaching of this will change our lives. If you get to that place, you will be immovable. What do I mean by immovable? Now, the context here, the immovable that it's talking about, is not just saying that you're going to sit one place and be not, that no one can move you. It's saying that when the storms of life come, they won't move you. They won't shake you. You might feel it. They might come at you, but it's not going to move you from your place. You're going to stand there just as strong. You'll look at the devil and say, nice try, but you just didn't get it. You just can't do it enough because I'm immovable, because I'm settled. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we see this here, that there's so much. If the word says be immovable, then we have to understand that immovable must be possible. If God told us through the word to be immovable, we have to know that it's possible to be immovable. And therefore, if we're being movable, there's something that we're not doing to be immovable. Amen? Praise the Lord. That it is so important to understand this. I said this recently in a service, and I really like this phrase, but we must appeal to our higher nature. What do I mean by that? Well, here's the thing. If you're a Christian who lives always in your flesh, always in tune with your flesh, and never in the Spirit, never knowing God, never being in church, never getting the revelation that God has given you to make you immovable, if you're never around that, what happens is you become a Christian who is very worldly minded, and the natural things of life will shake you and rattle you. Rock and roll might be good for music, but it's not good for a Christian. And what I mean by that is you shouldn't be rocked and you shouldn't be rolled. You should be immovable, because that's what the Bible has made us. Amen. I am not saying that you can't listen to certain genres of music or anything like that. That's not what I was talking about. I'm saying you shouldn't be moved, rattled, and shaken. You shouldn't be somebody who can just be knocked off your horse every single time the wind blows. And unfortunately, what has happened so often is that Christianity has become so watered down and so weak that Christians, the devil doesn't even have to barely blow. You know what I mean? He just knocks on the door and people start folding. You know what I mean? You know, at least the little pigs, they put up a fight. But, some Christians, they're not. They're just curling up in the ball and say, it must be over. Why? Because you had a thought. Do you realize how many people, that it is the end of life for them because they've had a thought? A thought. A thought can rock somebody and rob somebody. Just one little event can happen. See, this is the thing. We look at the events of life. If you realize who you are in Christ, there's something that you're going to know. Every event that comes into your life will work for you if you allow it to work for you. It doesn't matter how it looks. It's working for you. How do we know that? Because that's what the Bible tells us. It tells us that all things work together for the good. That's Romans 8:28. That all things work together for the good to those who love Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. So if you are called according to his purpose, all things work together for you. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be financial loss. It could be another kind of loss. It could be a job loss. It doesn't matter what it is. All things work together for you if you trust God, if you are called according to his purpose. Why? Because even if it's a bad thing, even if it's something God didn't plan for your life, if you stay in faith, God will make sure it works out. Why? Because God always gives us the victory. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Yeah. It stirs me up. I am excited. I do not apologize for being a Christian. I do not apologize for being a good Christian. I know that I'm a good Christian because I love the Lord, because I love His local church, because I love the things He's given me to prosper. I have a pastor. I love my pastor. Praise the Lord. I love my pastor's pastor. I love the family that He has put me in. Glory to God. Because the family He has put me in is a family that is guaranteed that I'm going to prosper. That's a place I'm going to prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wherever God has you, glory to God, that's a good place to be. And so if you'll just stay put where God has you, you watch and see how your life changes. I don't care if you're 15. I don't care if you're 115. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you learn to love God, if you learn to seek after God, you will find things that will blow your mind. Amen. And that's exactly what I found. God has blown my mind. You know what God did to me today? He blew my mind. You know what God has done to me this week? He blew my mind. Glory to God. Even this week, many times this week, He's just blown my mind. You say, what do you mean by that? Just things happen and it blows my mind. I'm like, holy cow, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Sacre vache, as they'd say in French. That's holy cow in French, in case you didn't know. Praise the Lord. It just blows your mind. Why? Because God is just that good. I remember the first time that I found out that we had a loving God who actually interacts with us and He likes us. Not a God that wanted to throw lightning bolts at me. Not a God that's trying to tear my life apart. Not a God that's putting sickness on me, but a God who loves me. A God who likes me even. He likes us. Do you know that? He doesn't just love us. He likes us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be in your day. He wants to be in your minutes. He wants to be in your hours. When you're at your job, God wants to be there. And guess what? If God is there, it's blessed. Amen. How do we know that? Because all blessing, James tells us, comes down from the Father of lights, who in Him is there's no variable or shadow of turning. God is good, He's light, and He wants to bless. Praise the Lord. There are some Christians that fight against that idea. Fine, fight against it. I've learned I'm not fighting against being blessed. I'm going to accept being blessed, and guess what? He blesses me. Praise the Lord. So you might not believe in the blessing of God, but I sure do. And because I do, I see it. Praise the Lord. And you know what else I know? Is that everybody else that I've seen that believes in the blessing of God, they see it as well too. So I got decided at one point, I'm tired of not being blessed. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to stop believing that God doesn't want to bless. And I'm going to start believing that God does want to bless, because that's who my God is. Amen. How do I know that God is that good? Because I know He's better than I am, and I want to be a blessing. When I look at my family, when I look at my kids, I'm thinking, what can I do to make their life better? What can I do to make them happier? Praise the Lord. What would a good parent not sacrifice for their child? There's nothing they wouldn't. Well, why do you think our Heavenly Father looks at us? He isn't looking down at us, oh, what can I pull away from them today? No, He's like, well, how can I bless? How can I get blessing to them? How do we know this? You're still alive, aren't you, even though you were stupid? You know what I mean? You did something stupid at some point in life, right? You did something you shouldn't have done, and you got to the point where you were like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that, but you're still sitting here. You're still breathing, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, that's God's blessing just right there. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Be immovable, knowing that your labor is what? Not in vain. One of the things, and now this scripture is very important because it tells us something, it points to something. One of the things the devil always tries to do is as soon as something bad happens, as soon as he gets you into a bad way or a bad place, the first thing he does is start whispering in your ear, well, man, you've been giving to the Lord, you've been serving God, and then look what's happening to you. And you know what a lot of Christians do? They take it. They take it. They believe it. How do I know? I've been a Christian who does it. I don't know how many times I thought, you know, I started tithing, and then all of a sudden, man, here's a financial attack. Where's your blessing, God? Where is it? I'll tell you where it is. It's all over me. I just couldn't see it. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. We must appeal to our higher nature. That's what I was going when you got me off on that tangent. Praise the Lord. That's where I was going to go with that. We always appeal to the lower nature, the natural nature. We need to appeal to the higher nature. We need to appeal to what we have been made, not who we were. Because we've come in to be changed. We didn't come in to stay the same. Anyone come in to be changed? Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. If you didn't come in to be changed, you came to church for the wrong reason. Amen. If you showed up for brownie points, you didn't get them. Just telling you. You didn't get them. No brownie points, no cookies for showing up. What did you do? You came in to be changed. It's that change that will be the blessing in your life. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it says abounding, or it tells us here that abounding comes in the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. It always comes in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Knowing, you know, and this is what he's saying. He's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the adversity that comes against you. Amen. Be immovable. Be settled in your heart. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's it say? It says always abounding. Where? In the work of the Lord. Notice you don't always abound in your own work. You don't always abound in your own ideas. Anybody had their own ideas that didn't abound?
Yeah.
Amen. I've had lots of them. Oh, man, I could write books on the ideas I've had that failed. In fact, I was real good at failing in my own life. Why? Because I was trying to abound on my own ability, and I had no ability to abound. I was an underabounder. Amen. I don't know if that's a real thing, but that's what I was. I was an underabounder. But now I'm an overabounder.
Amen.
Why? Because God has made me able to leap in a single bound, overabounding. Amen? Glory to God. Because he wants us on the other side. I'm an overabounder. Praise the Lord. Abounding, but it says there, abounding in the work of the Lord. See, this is where Christians will sometimes get a disconnect because they don't realize it's the work of the Lord that causes you to abound. I have abounded more. The more I serve God, the more my life abounds.
Yes.
The more I give to God, the more my life abounds. Yes. I'm talking financially, but I'm also talking of myself. The more that we do, the more that we put faith in practice, the more that we step out in faith and say, Lord, I just want more of you. I want more of your kingdom. I want to help more people. Guess what happens? My life abounds. I take giant leaps sometimes, giant leaps forward. Sometimes I don't always see it, and then all of a sudden I realize, whoo, I took this giant leap. I didn't even notice I did it. Sometimes God just gives me a whoo, just a whisk, and I just leap up and down. I'm down. All of a sudden I'm way far ahead. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Remember the game, was it Sorry? Uh-huh. Yeah, the Sorry, when you hit that one spot and you slid.
Yeah.
You slid past everybody. You know what I mean? You get on that, everybody like that slide.
Yeah.
Amen? Same thing in Monopoly. You get to not go to jail, but you get to pass go, and or you get to jump, you know, and everybody have hotels on the board, and you got to pay all this stuff, but you jump ahead, you get that card, you jump ahead, and you go right to go, and you collect $200, amen? That's what abounding is, amen? That's what it is with the Lord, amen? It's winning Monopoly. Well, I'm not going to cheapen it and just say it like that, but you know what I mean, amen? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. So you're there in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's go down to verse 16, 1 Corinthians 16:9. You're right there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It says here, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Notice how close this is to those scriptures that we just read, the scripture we just read.
Yeah.
Amen. When there is a great and effective door, there's adversaries. Why is there adversaries? Because God does not want you to get in. No, of course not. That would be foolish. He would not give you an effective door, a great and effective door, and then say, but I don't want you to get in, or I'm going to make it really hard for you to get in there. Why? Because, again, that's stupid, and God ain't stupid. Amen? God is not dumb. He wants us, if he gives us a door, he wants us to get in. But there is an enemy that we are told does not want us to get into that great and effective door. Amen? Now, that great and effective door is open all the time. And so there's opposition to those all the time. Now, I want to read this to you in the Amplified Version. It says, for a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me. There are a great and promising one. And there are many adversaries. Amen? So you might be sitting there thinking, okay, I see this. I can see this in the Word. There are many adversaries. But the Bible, what did it just tell us? He prepared us for this in verse 58 of chapter 15. He prepared us for it when he said, be settled and immovable.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Why? Because there's going to be a door that's going to be open to you, but there's going to be opposition to it. If you go to that door settled and immovable, it doesn't matter what's pressing against you. You will go into whatever is on the other side of that door. Amen? And so you sit there and think, well, how long or how much adversaries can we have? Well, I'll tell you, until you're into that place, there's going to be those adversaries. So that however long it takes you to get into that room, there's going to be adversaries. So sometimes it could be our fault that we last a little bit longer in the adversity. And sometimes it's not our fault at all. There's just a lot of adversity and it's coming against us. But this we know, that if we stick with God, we will always get into that room. But we must be immovable. You cannot be a person that comes to the room and say, maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't. You have to know that you'll make it, because that's what being settled is. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we want to be settled. We got to be immovable so we get to that door and then we can get into that place of great effect or opportunity. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the fact that God has set us up to win. I love it. But there, the opposition, I know. But this is why it's important to stay together and to be teaching these kinds of things. Because we have to know that it doesn't matter. That, you know, whatever is good is going to be opposed. You know, a lot of people think, well, I was doing the work of the Lord and then all this adversity came to me. Where did I miss it? You probably didn't miss it anywhere. There's just a devil that doesn't want you to do what you're doing. So don't pay him any mind. Don't pay any attention to him. Don't sit there and focus on how big the adversary is. Listen, if you sit there, if you go up to a door and you are looking at how bad the adversity is going into it, you'll get focused on that. You'll never get through the door. You got to focus on whatever is on the other side of that door. You say, well, I might not know. But what you do know is that you've settled in your heart that God is good. And because you settled in your heart that God is good, whatever is on the other side of that door has got to be good. So even if you can't see what's on the other side, it doesn't matter. You just know this. So you say, well, how do I know that I'm at the door at all? Are you having adversity? That's the first place I would look. Yeah. If you're having adversity, it means, and actually I've been told this and I believe it with all my heart, sometimes usually the greatest trials come just before the greatest breakthroughs. It's not just a nice preachery thing to say. It's not just a thing that us pastors like to tell people to keep them going just one more day. There is truth to that. Just before you get through that place, just before you break through, that's where the most intense fight will be sometimes. But what does the Bible say about it? He says, fight all the ones going through the door. Nope. He doesn't say anything about fighting that. He says, fight the good fight of faith. What is a good fight of faith? Being settled. Getting it in your heart that the word is true. It's always going to be. See, this is a problem. A Christian will come to the door. Bang. They're at the door of great and effective service. They're at the door of breakthrough. Praise the Lord. And then all this adversity comes up. And because they haven't settled it in their mind, what happens is they start listening to all the adversity. What do I mean? That adversity looming over you, oh, you're going to fail. That's adversity. That thought, that overwhelming sense of doom and gloom that comes upon you, that's adversity. That's that thing trying to, you know, all of a sudden you get told you have some sickness or something like that. Adversity. It's just trying to stop you from going through. And so if you get your mind off of what the truth is and you put it on the adversity, then that's all you see. And that's why you don't go any further. And that's so many times we come up to a door and we get pushed away and then we go off and we wander for a while. But we still, before we're going to go into all that God has for us, we're still going to have to go through that door. And so we might as well just make up in our minds ahead of time that because God is good, he's going to get me through that door. It's going to be good. It's going to look good for me on the other side. It doesn't matter. But there is a certain amount of things that we just have to settle in our hearts. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. Turn with me to Revelation 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're talking about... praise the Lord. We're talking about getting through adversity. We're talking about what to do when, right? So what are we going to do? First thing we're going to do is we're going to settle it in our hearts that God is good. And if God is good, then another thing we got to settle in our hearts that God is for us. The Bible says, if God be for us, who could be against us? Right? That's a pretty big clue to where you're supposed to go. If there's adversaries, who could be against you? If God's for you, it doesn't matter because God's bigger. It doesn't matter what comes against you. It can't stop you if you don't let it. Amen. Glory to God. So we're over here in Revelation 1. Go to verse 4. Okay, this is a greeting from John. And of course, we know he's speaking to the seven churches which are in Asia, which it says here, but this also applies to us. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. I love that. Who is, was, and is to come. He was here in the beginning, he's here now, and he's going to be here in the end. Yes. What does that tell us? Doesn't matter what the adversity is, that God is always on the other side. He's got the prize. He's always there. He's always got the upper hand. He's always got the high ground. He always wins. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so if we're his children and we're riding in his coach, his car, then we always go with him. It's just that simple. It's that simple. But you got to settle in your heart. See, the reason that Christians will fail is not because God didn't come through with them. It's because they didn't settle in their heart that he was there. They didn't settle in his heart that they automatically win because of their placement with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. And from the seven spirits who are from or who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn among from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. That's interesting, huh? To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us, what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Pastor Jeff, why did you bring up this verse? Because it tells us who we are. He is the ruler over the kings of the earth. He has made us kings and priests. What do we know about kings and priests? Praise the Lord. Kings have the authority. Priests have the access. What do I mean by that? Kings have the authority to rule. Their rule, what a king says, when a king decreed something, and that's the context that it gives us, when a king decreed something, it was the rule of the land. So, he made us kings. Said he made us kings. He's ruler over the kings of the earth. Where are we kings? On the earth. Where are you? On the earth. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know that you're a king. He said, but I'm a woman. You're a king too. It doesn't matter. Because in this context, it's the king is the highest. And if you're a woman, you've been made the highest just like a guy. Why? Because there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. Doesn't matter. You're a king. You're a king. I am a king. We reign as kings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Bible says that we reign as kings on the earth. Hallelujah. But we are kings and priests. Kings have authority. They decree something and it is so. Yes. What does the Bible tell us about us? That when we decree something, it is so. Jesus told us in Mark 11:23, he tells us that whatever we say will be done. Yes. And when we believe what we say. Yes. When we've settled it in our heart, whatever we say is what we'll have. Amen. Yes. We also know that about, 1 John 5:14 or somewhere around there. Amen. That whatever we say, that we have the petitions of our heart. Amen. Glory to God when we ask anything according to his will. But we understand, so we're kings. We have authority. What we decree is so. So that's the authority. That's that part of it. But he didn't just make us kings. He made us kings and priests. And if you understand anything about Old Testament, which they would have at that time, and that's why they use that example, that what a priest is the one who has access to God. Amen. And so everybody who is born again, everybody who has been blood bought into this new covenant because of the price that Jesus Christ has paid has access to God. So you have authority over the earth and you have access to God in everything. Everything. There is no limit to what it is. This is why the plan of God is imperative in people's lives. And this is why we teach it. Amen. Glory to God. Just because for almost 2,000 years, the church didn't know this, doesn't mean that we shouldn't grab hold of it. Right. And this is something that we're seeing. We're seeing some people that fight against this message, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's been written for the last 2,000 years. So it doesn't matter. Just because some people didn't get it, I'm sorry, this is what the Bible says. This is where I'm going. Amen. This is the direction I'm going, in the direction of the Word, because the Word sets us free. What's it set us free from? Everything. Because the Word is what gives us our authority. The Word is our, this is the proof, this is our title that tells us that we have this. Amen. This is the thing that we can go back before God and say, Lord, you said this. And so you said this. And so it's settled in my heart. This is the truth. Glory to God. You'll start living different when you know that. When you've settled it in your heart, you'll start living different. Amen. Praise the Lord. Times are changing. The devil has been increasing what he has been doing. Have you not noticed? But if the devil is increasing, then we should be increasing more. Because the devil's been put under our feet. And so if you see the devil abounding, that should excite you a little bit. Because what it tells you is that you have more authority. So where he superabounds, you superabound. Even more so abound. So if he takes an inch, you could take a mile. Because it's not just inch for inch. God didn't give us that. No, he said you'll just watch and watch your enemies be defeated. Amen. He said you won't even lift a finger. The Bible says it will sit there silent, just looking at it. It's just watching the destruction of our enemies. Why? Because that's what God has made us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Kings have authority. Priests have access. I'm going to tell you the truth. I wrote down in my Bible that kings have authority, priests have access. Yeah. Every time I come across a scripture, or what I'm going to read is, kings have authority, priests have access. And since I'm a king and I'm a priest, praise the Lord, not just because I stand here, I'm also a pastor. Amen. You don't even have to stand here to be a king and a priest. Glory to God. Okay, turn with me to Acts 17. Praise the Lord. You getting set free tonight? Hallelujah. Helping me. I know it helped me. I'm just telling you. I get to get this revelation. I sit there with the Lord, and he starts revealing this to me. I'm like, hey, hallelujah. Man, I'll just tell you the truth. It made me happy. Amen. When I start reading that, I start getting excited. So excited, I couldn't even nap. I was, it was like Christmas. I'm like, whoo, this is good. I'm blessed. He prospers me everywhere I go. Not because he loves me more than you, because I'm just listening to him. And you know what happens when you listen to him and he prospers you? You want to listen to him more. Amen? And you listen to him more and he prospers you more. It's like this never-ending trip down blessing lane. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Doesn't mean there isn't opposition, of course, there is. We read that. There's lots of opposition. And actually, you know what? The more blessed you get, the more opposition you'll be. But it doesn't matter because you're still stronger. You're still better. Amen? Acts 17:24. Glory to God. Acts 17:24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. In other words, he's not, that doesn't mean that the house of the Lord is not important. It never says that there. What it's saying is that he isn't subject to just what man can make. You know what I mean? That what man can, God far exceeds what man can do, right? And then it says here, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath and all things. Amen. When it says, nor is he worship here, again, it's not saying that we don't worship God and it's not good. It means that, really what that means is that it doesn't benefit him when we worship him. See, a lot of people, they're like, why does your God make you worship him? It's not for him. It doesn't help God that we worship him. It doesn't boost his ego. It doesn't make him feel better about life. God's not up there. I just sure wish I had somebody to worship me. If I just had somebody worship me, then maybe we could get something done here. No, that's not what it's saying at all. It's saying that, God is far above that. He's given us worship as a way to increase us. Because when we worship God, you know what worship does? Worship is real simple. God gave me this revelation a long time ago, and I love it, and I just bring it out again. What worship does is it takes our mind, when we worship God, it takes our mind off of where we're at and puts it on where he is. Amen? And when our mind gets taken off of where we're at and puts on where he is, then the adversity does not affect us. It doesn't slow us down. It doesn't keep us from going through. Why? Because our minds are focused over in glory land. Hallelujah. Our minds are focused on something so much greater, so much better. And that's where the problem is. And see, this is a problem I have. I don't have a problem when, you know, people want, I know people that go through things and they want to talk about it, but there gets to be a point where we need to stop talking about the trial and we need to just keep talking about our God. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with bringing it before someone, hey, I'm going through this. Could you believe with me or you agree with me? But then the person that's with you shouldn't just be stirring it, nagging you on and saying, oh, I know, it just all stinks, doesn't it? It all sucks. It's all terrible. We're just, it's all going to, it's just all falling apart. We're above that. We've been made above that. This is why, Christians, we got to stop with this complaining about everything. I used this example this week, and I loved it. It was a great example the Lord showed me. But, I like to do a thing called Yelp because my wife and I, we end up eating when we're on the road. We eat out a lot. And so there's this app that's called Yelp. And what it is it's just different restaurants, and it gives you its opportunity for people that eat at these restaurants to leave a review, and it accumulates all the reviews. And so when you're going through the restaurants, you can see what's a good restaurant and what's not. Amen, essentially. But one of the things that I found myself doing is that I would get on there if I didn't like the food, and I started giving a very colorful review. A review that wasn't just telling the truth, which would have been fine, but it was getting into a place of complaining and insulting and all this stuff. What was I doing? I was appealing to my lower nature. I need to appeal to my higher nature. Why? Because it doesn't matter. If it's all terrible, if everything that a company does or somebody does towards me is terrible, that doesn't change my placement with God. It doesn't change the fact that I'm blessed. Listen, you cannot bless me. Don't give me that look. I know what you're doing here. Praise the Lord. That's an inside thing, but praise the Lord. But honestly, the Lord dealt with me on that today. It doesn't matter what anyone else does because I'm blessed no matter what. It doesn't matter if I'm going through life doing something. It doesn't matter if there's adversity. I'm still blessed. Yes. It doesn't matter if the the cab ride over wasn't hunky dory. It doesn't matter if the flights were all on time or anything like that. Praise the Lord. None of that stuff matters. All that matters is that I'm blessed and that I know it. And see, the problem is when we start getting to this place of complaint, where we put our focus on the things that's not God. We bring it to the lower nature, just like everybody else does, and we don't rise above it. It's just the truth. And so there should be, it's not that you can't review and be honest. But you know what I'm saying is you don't get into a place where you take it personal. You know what I mean? So what if you go into a restaurant and the waitress was snarky towards you? What does that have anything to do with your day? Are you going to let, I love this, Dr. Matthews was here. He was here not too long ago, and when he was here, we were with him, and he was telling us about the time where he had Dr. Lester Summerall in his church. And if you don't know who he is, he was one of the pioneers of faith, amazing man of God. And so Dr. Summerall was there, and he was known to be kind of a rough, gruff kind of guy. He was a prophet of God, and he sometimes he'd just be rough and gruff. That was just kind of his personality when he was under that anointing and stuff like that. But at any rate, he was cleaning some stuff up when he came in and just kind of helping. And that's what prophets do. The Bible says that they root up and they tear down. What does that mean? That they go in and they pull out things that are rooted in your life that are not good for you, then they'll pull it out. Well, how many know if you got a tooth that's bad and you need it pulled, it doesn't feel good when you pull, but it's good when it's done. Amen? And so that's the same thing that a prophet's ministry generally does. They root up and they tear down. They tear down stuff that's been built that isn't God, and they help you clear a way to have a clean path and a clean start. Amen? So anyway, he was going in there and it just seemed like everything was going wrong. And Dr. Matthews was just like, Dr. Summerall, we're just trying to make you happy, And he said, Dr. Summerall turned to him and said, you don't have anything to do with my happiness. That's truth. Yeah, amen. It sounds rough, but there was teaching. Now, they ended up having a great relationship and everything. It was a fatherly son type relationship, and it was good, and he was a blessing and all this stuff. But this is the thing we have to take out of that, is that if someone else or what someone else does has anything to do with our happiness, they just became our God. That's absolutely true. Why does the Bible tell us to forgive? Because when you're focused on what somebody else is doing wrong, they're your God. They're the thing. They're the object of your affection. They're the thing that's getting your attention. And God's saying, if you would just look at me, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it all. You don't have to worry about it. Just look to me. That's what God is. That's what the Bible is always doing. That's what ministry is always supposed to do, is to call us to look to God. We need reminders. As a pastor, I need reminders. Why do we go to these, you know, when we went to Pensacola, why do we go to these other places and go to these meetings? Because we need these reminders. We need these reminders to keep running at it and keep staying in the truth and keep seeking God and not getting distracted by what's going on over here or what's going on over here. Not get distracted by how many people are sitting in church today or how many people aren't sitting in church today. Amen. Not getting distracted by how much money's coming in or not. Amen. All these different things, all the different things that a pastor can be distracted by, we need them too. Amen. We all need that place where that helps us focus, because guess what? In the world, they're not going to help you focus on God.
No.
Amen. When you turn on Dancing with the Stars, it ain't going to help you focus on God. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch. I don't know if it's wrong to watch it. I'm not making that judgment for you. That's between you and God. I am not saying there's anything in of Dancing with the Stars that I know of. I've never watched the show, so I don't know. I'm just using it as an example. I'm not saying watch it. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm saying you decide. It's between you and God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what I am saying is this. One thing I do know about it is it's not going to bring you closer to God. Amen? And so if it's a distraction to you, if it's something that is pulling you away from God, then you need to recognize that and say, hey, this isn't good for me. Now, if it's just something that every once in a while that you watch and it doesn't hurt you and there's nothing bad about it, well, glory to God. Be happy. Sit there and watch it. You know, be full. I don't know. Do what you're going to do. But what my point is that if something is drawing us away from God, which everything in the world eventually is going to try to do. Now, the Bible does say that we have to live in this world. So that doesn't mean you have to get so goofy and act like you can't touch anything either. Amen? Because that's the other extreme on it. There's some religions that have bound people so much. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Well, we're not supposed to do what the Bible tells us not to do. Amen? But for everything else, praise the Lord, the Bible says that let your conscience judge. Amen? But if it's drawing you away from God, it's no good. And so if we're Christians who appeal to the lower nature, if we're always just in the flesh and everything about the flesh controls everything that we do, we have no opportunity to rise above it. God wants us. He has made us to rise above it. But we can't rise above it. He can't rise us above it if we're not willing to go. And if we're not saying that we're yielding to Him, if we're not people who yield to His Spirit and yield to His direction and yield to His way and say, God, Your word is truth.
Yes.
Amen? I've settled it in my heart. See, until you settle something in your heart, you're not going to be able to go where God wants. God will not be able to take you anywhere. We have to settle it in our hearts. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So where were we? Yeah, in verse 26, and He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now, there are some people out there in the faith that take such a wonderful scripture like this, and they twist it and say something really dumb. They say that, see, God has predestined your whole life. That is not what the Bible is saying here. When you look at what the scripture is saying, it is saying God has pre-appointed the time when you would live. It's your spirit existed before you did. Amen. And He had determined ahead of time that you were going to live in this period of time. It is not an accident that you are living and breathing in 2020. It is not an accident that you are living and breathing in 2020 and sitting tonight in Corry, Pennsylvania. It is not an accident. But what does it say here? He has determined the boundaries of their dwellings, their pre-appointed times that they would live here, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see here that God has determined the perfect time, the perfect place where you're going to run into God. And so even if you're a person that does not know God, he has put you just in the right place at the right time so that you would run into him, so that you would find him. And the Bible says it very clearly here, he's not far from any of us. Might feel like he's a million miles away, but he's right there. God is literally like right there with us all the time. Even when we're not serving God, even when we don't know God, even when we've never heard the name of Jesus Christ, God is right there with us, just waiting, patiently waiting for you to find him, for you to have that door open to you. Hallelujah! What does that mean? It means you are in the right place at the right time. Glory to God, because he has determined that you would be there. Now, listen, if you decided that tonight I'm going to go out to the bar and go drinking, God did not pre-appoint that time for you. You pre-appointed that time in your stupidity. That is not what God, and there's no blessing that will come at, from that. In fact, that is something that can shut down the blessing of God in your life. Don't do it. Don't go to that place. Amen? But God has, you know, when it says he's predetermined our dwellings, it's like where we would live in the area where we would grow up and the people that we would grow up around. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. It goes on to say in here, for in him, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. In him we live and move. You notice, the Bible doesn't say never move. It says be immovable, of course, against adversity. But in Jesus, in Christ, we live and move. By the Spirit, we live and move. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. These are the ones that as many as are led by the Spirit, as many as are moved by the Spirit. Glory to God. So we see this. In him, we live and move and have our being. We don't live and move according to the winds, and we don't make our decisions based on what's happening around us or what kind of wars are going on. We make decisions by the Spirit. Right. See, Christians who make decisions by the Spirit, or Christians always make good decisions. You know, some people say, like you, well, you never know. You never know if a relationship's going to work out. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you can know. Yeah. If you decide that you want to know. You can know if everything's going to go good for you or not. Why? Because the Bible promises us that. The Bible didn't say he'd keep things hidden. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us specifically that he was sending us the Holy Spirit so that we would know. He told us specifically that. And yet what? 3/4 of the church rejects the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of tongues, the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They reject it. And so it's no wonder why a lot of Christians are running around like they're chickens with their heads cut off. They don't know what's going on. Why? Because they reject the Spirit, the very thing that God's given them, the very one, I should say, that God has given them to know what's going to happen. But people, well, it's weird to me. Okay, well, be weird to you. How weird is the trial and the adversity coming to you? You ever had something come out of the blue and you're like, wow, that's kind of weird? Well, is it more weird than being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because I like the direction that God gives me. I like the help that he gives me. I love the knowing versus the not knowing. It's terrible going through life without not knowing. You never know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? You wake up today, well, I could die, I could live. Well, God said that with long life, he'll satisfy me. I'm waking up today, I'm going to live. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's things that you don't know. My son had one of those tonight. Today. I'm going to share this with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was at his house, working on his house, trying to get it ready. And he goes to cut through the main wire coming into the house, which he was told was not connected to any power. But guess what? It was. Praise the Lord. It didn't get him. Praise God. Why? Because he's protected. I don't fear that my children are going to go out. Why? Because they follow God. Amen. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. You go, well, this bad happened to me. I've had bad things happen to me, too. And I can tell you this. Bad things only happen to me when I haven't been following the Lord. And I don't mean that, you know, just like maybe I got off. Maybe I got distracted by something. But, you know, when you follow God, God will always lead you in a path of safety. He always will. God is not going to lead you in a path that's going to cause destruction. Well, amen. Glory to God. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. We are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And the word repent means to change their minds. He's called all men everywhere to look to something different. There was a time where religion was all based about these idols, and they were based by statues. And, oh my God, if you don't have a cross on the wall, then it can't be a godly church. But he's saying God is not found in things made by human hands. He's not found in your trinkets and your rosary beads. He's not found in your statues of saints or statues of Jesus or anything like that. He is not found in any of that stuff. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so the Bible says that we must repent. It means we must change our thinking. That's what repent means. It means to change your mind, your attitude about something. Amen? It's not, so many people think repenting means saying I'm sorry. It does not mean I'm sorry. If you're truly sorry, you'll change. If you're not sorry, you won't change. Repentance means change. Glory to God. I just love this. The people that come into church, and they claim to be born again, but there's never any change in their lives. Are they born again? Absolutely not. If you don't have change in your life and change all the time, you got to question whether or not you're even saved. Why? Because God does not leave us the way that we are. He'll accept you the way that you are, but he will not leave you the way that you are. Why? Because the way that you are is not good. The way that you are is not perfect before the Lord. The way that you are going to be is, and God will take you down that path. Now, it's not necessarily up to man to sit there and point out every bad thing in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But what it is important is to follow God. And when you follow God, God will start changing things in your life. It will be different. If it's not different, you have not repented. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You, child of God, are in the right place and the right time. God put you here to be blessed and, listen to me, to be a blessing. Yeah. If you are not being a blessing, and I mean a real blessing, mm-hmm. to the body of Christ, to the work of the Lord, if you're not being a blessing to others, then you're not activating the power of God in your life. See, and this is something that so many Christians, they just, and I've been one of them over the years, that he just failed to see. I just didn't see it. If you are not striving to be a blessing and more of a blessing all the time to other people and to the work of the Lord, you have to question, you can't wonder where the power of God is. It's never going to show up in your life. The power of God is not going to be manifest in your life if your life is all about you. It just isn't going to be. Now, the power of God will come in and do amazing things, but the first step is us deciding that, you remember he says, you're abounding in the work of the Lord. You do not abound in your own ideas. You do not abound in your own path and your own plan. You do not abound in that. You know, some people look, well, Bill Gates, he abounded. Well, if it's not the plan of God, he's not abounding. That means that whatever he's done or anybody's done, even if it's made him billionaire, it doesn't matter. If it hasn't been for the Lord, it's lesser than what he had for them. I said it's lesser than that. I mean, how much more? You think, how much more could one person do? But with God, they can do amazing things. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is an awesome teaching. This is an awesome thing about God is that God always intends us to increase. If people don't increase in their life, and when I mean increase, I don't just mean that you're padding your pockets or you're getting nice clothes or anything like that. Increase is all encompassing. It's everything in your life. The more time you spend with God, your entire life, everything in your life, listen to what I'm saying, everything in your life will increase, because that's what God does. He has made us, he told us in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. What does it mean to multiply? It means be fruitful, multiply yourself. Go out there in the world and multiply yourself. God wants us to be fruitful and then multiply and show other people how to be fruitful. And what does it mean to be fruitful? Everything in life, nothing broken, nothing lost, nothing not working, everything going forward in the plan of God. This is what God has intended us to do. But until Christians have determined in their heart that I'm going to do it, until they've settled it in their heart, this is why it's so dangerous when Christians are taught wrong, because they go out there, they never settle that God wants them blessed in their life. And so they go through their life just kind of bebopping around, bouncing off of everything, and never increasing anything. Why? Because who wants to follow a loser? I'm just going to tell you, I lived as a loser in my life. Nobody wanted to follow me. Nobody wanted to model their life after mine. They looked at my life and they're like, are you kidding me? And you call yourself a Christian? You say that's what being a Christian is? I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be anything like that. See, God will change your life. He will make you something. Amen. And when I mean make you something, I mean he's got something good for you. He's got something awesome for each and every one of us. A blessing for each and every one of us. A blessed life for each and every one of us. Sure, there'll be adversity. There's always going to be adversity to God's blessing. There will always be adversity to God's blessing. But that doesn't matter if you know God, because he can't stop you from getting in. Why? The blood of Jesus guarantees that we go in through that door. So it doesn't matter what kind of guards the devil puts there. It doesn't matter what kind of opposition he puts there. It doesn't matter what kind of resistance is there. The blood of Jesus conquered the devil, and it guaranteed our pathway in. But we have to settle it in our hearts. We have to say, listen, I know who I am in Christ. I am a king and a priest. I have authority. And so when things start going wrong, you look at it and say, nope, I have authority. I have the direction. I have the way. I can get in there because I follow God, because I'm a child of God, not because I'm so great on my own, but because God is so great. Amen. Praise the Lord. And until people settle that in their hearts, they're not going into what God has for them. Until you settle it in your heart, that's not going to change for you. Until you settled in your heart that God wants you to get through, you never will. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message. It says, I know what I am doing. This is God speaking. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future, the future you hoped for. Praise the Lord. Will you trust God? Will you trust God into the, what's the future that you hope for? Obviously, it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that every greedy thing you ever wanted in your life, that's what you're going to get. The future that you hope for that he's talking about specifically is the future, that a blessed future. That future that you can hope for, that future that you can have hope in, a future that was greater than your past, a greater than today. If you woke up and today is bad, that future is a better day tomorrow. That future is a better day a week from now. That future is a better day a year from now. You do not have to sit there and think that as you get older, that everything's just going to go to pot. See, there are people that focus on that. They claim that. There's people in our church. I can't get it out of them because they won't listen to me. Well, you know, as you get older, things just get worse and worse. It doesn't have to get worse and worse. Bible says we go from glory to glory. If it goes from worse and worse, you better change your thinking. You better change your tune. You better change what you're saying. Because the Bible does that. Caleb said when he was 80, I have the strength of a 40-year-old. Amen. How many 80-year-olds do you have? Oh, it's all broken. It hurts. It's all falling. I understand sometimes it hurts. I'm guilty of this too. But listen, we're not going to see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living if we reject it, if we refuse it. Amen.